Hey guys, it's your host,
Caitlin
and Chia.
And on today's episode of What I Learned in History Class, we will be enlightening you guys on the Burr War.
I think she means the Cold War. In this specific segment, me and my co-host Caitlin will be discussing the various factors of the Cold War and why it had such a monumental effect on America today. The Cold War wasn't necessarily considered as just a big war, but it was a period of powerful tension between the great nations. The nations didn't want to literally go to war with each other, but they wanted to drain each other of power, alienate them, and overall be at the top of the food chain. At the start of the war, the Soviet Union and the United States were actually allies.
Wait, the Soviet Union and the US were allies?
Mm-hmm.
So how exactly did they become opponents?
Great question. In 1945, the war that was in Europe had officially ended. But the Soviet Union and the United States' prior friendship began to diminish as tensions grew progressively stronger. The United States had an impending fear that the USSR wanted to obliterate democratic and capitalist institutions, whilst the Soviet Union assumed that the US wanted money and enough momentum to destroy them. As soon as World War II was over, the Soviet Union's influence on Eastern Europe spread and became a threat to the US because of the disagreement of communism and capitalism.
So what does that have to do with why they become opponents?
Okay, so basically there was this conference in February 1945 and July 1945 called the Yalta and Potsdam Conference. At these conferences, Joseph Stalin ensured that there would be free elections, but instead of upholding his end, he in turn installed many communist nations in Europe. If you think about it, it's not a surprise that Joseph Stalin didn't stick to his word, because he always had been distrustful of the US and feared that they would ultimately have power over the Soviets.
So do you think that the US should have feared the Soviets?
Honestly, no.
Why do you say no? Because I know I would be scared.
Well, the US initially had more power and money, so they were at a greater advantage if they were to go against the Soviets. Also, the US would be able to provide protection to Europe.
Okay, that makes sense. But why did the Soviet Union want to cut off West Berlin?
Well, we all know Stalin was a little power hungry. Stalin cut off West Berlin because he was greedy for more control, and he attempted to starve West Berliners into submission.
Well, his method has to have worked.
Not necessarily, because America and Great Britain got involved and decided to bring in food and supplies. So technically, Stalin's plan didn't completely work. But Stalin's efforts didn't stop because in 1961, he did try again and decided to build a wall around West Berlin.
As heard of in the case of the Berlin blockade, the US was always in the position to help those in need and play mediator in conflicts. Their main tactic was to remain silent when problems arose and to just be the best help they can be after it all goes down. In the article The Cold War from Archives.gov, it formats the order of events in the Cold War. It starts off with the reason the whole war began in the first place, which was because the US decided to protect Iran from the Soviet Union, and then continues to explain how the US issued an ultimatum for Stalin to stop the Iran attacks or face the US forces.
Okay, so how does the article connect to the US being a mediator?
Thought you might ask that.
Did you though?
Anyways, the article goes on to talk about an event called the Marshall Plan. This was a series of improvisations brought up by Secretary of State George C. Marshall that were based upon the belief that Europe needed help and only the US could supply it. The author of this article included the quote made by the Secretary, "Our policy is not directed not against any country or doctrine, but against hunger, poverty, desperation, and chaos." This led the US and the Allies to go on a peacemaking adventure. After a lot of havoc that the Marshall Plan caused, the North Atlantic Alliance was signed in 1947. At this point, the author began to highlight the policies created that were very successful in deterring Soviet ambitions.
Wait, what was Stalin's ambition again?
Oh, you know, power, power, and... Oh, did I say power already? But the Soviet thirst for power wasn't a match for the dynamic bargain that held the Allies together. In the article, it goes in depth about this so-called bargain, explaining how technically the Allies had an understanding that if you help defend us, we'll help defend you. This understanding was very helpful in the end because it kept 7,000 US nuclear weapons and some 3,000 US troops in Europe for a long war. The article next does a fantastic job recognizing the symbolism in the name of the war and connecting it to the real problems between the Soviet Union and the U.S. The war was considered cold because it featured two nations nominally at peace that were throwing jabs and testing each other's weaknesses, which morally to most people is a low thing to do.
If I may interject, we also see this case when looking back at the Berlin blockade. When the Soviet Union is giving their all to seize power, the U.S. come quick and alter Stalin's plan, keeping the Soviet Union lower when it comes to power.
Exactly.
And they kept all this back and forth going, which I know had to be tiring.
You're right about that as well, because then the article goes on to talk about how Stalin had pushed as hard as he could and had nothing left to give, resulting in stalemate for the USSR. The U.S. had allied with too many nations for the Soviet Union to handle at this point. But the Soviets still continued to work on their weaponry, that's for sure. Their author brings up a point about how the Soviets did eventually shock the U.S. when they released the first Earth-circling Sputniks into space. But of course, the U.S. being the U.S. wasn't going to be outshined, so they increased the budget for the military and space technology. After these many fails and triumphs, the U.S. entered the terms of John F. Kennedy. It talks about how the next critical event in the Cold War was the Cuban Missile Crisis, and how they don't think it was a bright idea to place the missiles there. It was more or less just to rub in the U.S. face. But as said in the article, President Kennedy was experienced enough to react in a way that put the ball in Khrushchev's court. After several months, this issue was swept under the rug.
Wait, so did they just forget about it?
No, not necessarily, but Khrushchev knew that the only way to avoid war would be to remove the missiles so that the U.S. wouldn't invade Cuba.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
This event was towards the end of the article, where the author just pointed out what Germany and China were going through at the time of all these events, and then goes on to end by stating a lesson that they think was clear from that time. The lesson was that the people, not their leaders, were doing all the leading, which I totally agree with. Overall, the author of this article did a great job connecting the key points to each other and progressively introducing new topics. He does a great job at listing the facts, but also including the thoughts that the reader is thinking as well, which contributes to the overall flow of the article.
Hi, Chia. Hi, Caitlin. A couple questions just to round out the broadcast today. Number one, why do you feel the United States wanted to enforce the Marshall Plan in Europe? And then after that, your second question, the article you reviewed mentioned the events of the Cuban Missile Crisis. How close to World War III do you think the United States and Soviet Union were during that crisis?
America benefits from the Marshall Plan in Europe because it gains an immense amount of market, goods, and trading partners. Since European investments was on an all-time high, the U.S. was also able to inject their American markets in Europe, promoting more growth and revenue. Alongside that, the U.S. wanted to uplift the economic spirit of Europe and was convinced that rehabilitation of nations brought economic stability. All in all, the U.S. viewed the Marshall Plan as a way to improve how other nations perceive them while also giving a helping hand to Europe.
The Cuban Missile Crisis was very close indeed to starting a third world war, because since the U.S. and Soviet Union were in a standoff for 13 days, the U.S. eventually discovered a missile installation in Cuba from the use of a U-2 spy plane. If the Soviet Union launched these missiles, the U.S. had nothing to protect them. The missile base was 90 miles from the U.S., which in that specific area was Florida. The Soviet Union was aware of the amount of nations the U.S. was allied with, so when the word got out about this Cuban base, Khrushchev was immediately worried about leading to a war with the U.S. and these nations. In the end, thankfully, the Soviet Union and the U.S. came to agreement to leave each other alone. Thank you guys for tuning in on this week's episode of What We Learned in History Class. I'm your host, Caitlin.
And I'm your host, Tia.
And we are signing out.